Nathan Buckley, hello.
G'day, Jared. Well, I've got a couple here. Jared, that's the greatest speech I've ever heard. Brought tears to my eyes on my morning walk. Jared, I have to stop listening for a minute. I have a wall to walk through.
Yes.
Go, Ange. Now, you've got a choice. So you just played two bits of audio. One was him, the heart of him, sharing a part of himself about his old man, and then trying to conjure those emotions that he feels about his dad and the belief that his dad had in him, even though he was hard, in his players or his people to rise above and to realise that they're playing for more than just themselves. Then you've got a second edit, which is an opinion. And there's always going to be people that are going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people that are going to say why something can't be done or why something's going to be a bit hard or why that's not the right decision. And you know what? They're right in some ways, because the league in Scotland is exactly the way that they described it. And it is one of two teams. And he was able to be the better of those two teams amongst the rest of the league for his 2 years. So you can say, but he's going on to greater things and to greater challenges. But I'd prefer to buy into the positive. And if you sell that through your own experiences and through your own energy and connection as a coach, or as a leader, or as a manager, you're going to get the best out of your people.
Lunch never stood a chance, did it?
No.
It was so great. That was reckon, the pre-lunch speech.
How do you reckon the convo over lunch is? Well, when do you want to waste your good stuff sometimes 5 minutes before you go out to play? That's gone. It's gone in 30 seconds. But the energy isn't. The words count, but the intent underneath it and the feeling underneath it is what sinks in even further. And I've got more questions. I've got questions for you. I don't know Ange's story as well as it seems you do. I've sat on an esky next to him watching a training session at Victory.
Yep.
Way back when. And I thought, this is before I even looked, like I was doing some coaching education through the 2 years that I was out from playing to assistant coaching. And I sat next to him, and my overwhelming thing was, this bloke's doing nothing. He's just sitting on an esky yelling at blokes. but everything around him was already set up for him to have the space to observe and then to insert himself where he needed to. He had another coach that was running the skill session that was taking place, a small field game that was taking place in front of us. And I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with him. I was actually through Kevin Muscat, actually, who was running the session underneath Ange. And I just sat next to Ange for a little bit, and he was in it. And he might have said 20 words for 45 minutes. And he just sat there and observed. And in the end, I didn't really get a great sense of his impact on the group because I wasn't in. I didn't get him. I didn't get that talk. I didn't get an insight into what was driving him. But I thought he's managed this really well to be able to give himself space to see what he needs to see and say and feel what he needs to say and feel. And he's been on his journey for a long time, and all credit to him to get to where he wanted to get to. And now the challenge is probably he's not where he wanted to be. He's where he needed to be to get to where he wants to be. And I reckon he wants it all. He wants a championship. Yeah. There's no doubt.
So that philosophy that he's taken through each team that he's been able to build, and you know, he's written a book around it. He's got better at rapidly implementing it.
Yep.
Because the speed with which it achieves success is absolutely essential as you climb your way through the ranks. So he built it through a period of acrimony at Brisbane Roar, and he had to shuttle off some of the older players to be able to do it, win championships. In Japan, he told us about the incredible language barrier that he had to work through.
Can I check a point of fact? Would it have been Victory that I was looking at?
Yes. So he very briefly was the coach of Victory before the Socceroos needed him, when they sacked the coach on the eve of a World Cup.
And I did watch this. I was on the side of a Socceroos session, I reckon, 2 or 3 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have had some touch points with him along the way, but like arm's length.
Yep. So the words, I want to tap into the idea of energy this morning. So the words, his words in Japan had to go through sometimes three different interpreters to hit the group. So he couldn't have long meetings because he had Japanese. He didn't speak English. He had, I reckon he told us he had Brazilians, that yep. Portuguese maybe. That so there were three different layers that he had to work through to get that, but they implemented their system and they won the league. The Celtic thing is so interesting as people go, well, of course he was successful there. No, he went there at a time where they were in the doldrums, and it's the way that he won the hearts and the minds of not only the dressing room and what he brought into the dressing room, but the club, the unity, but the fan base. Is that's a fan base that has lived success all the years of their lives.
I've got no doubt.
They love him like they've never loved.
Would you think that? My gut feel is that the players would sometimes fear the wrath of that army on the negative end. Yep. And potentially that's a Carlton perspective or a Collingwood perspective or a Richmond perspective at times. Would he have been able to turn that around and rather than looking at the negative side of that, to buy into the positive side? Because he's talking about you walking out there. He would walk out, you walk out there with someone who's had a strength of belief
and who's
given you love. And I dare say that he would have spoken about the fan base to his players and said that they are with you as much as they're with me. And that's a powerful motivator, because it can actually be an equally powerful detractor on the other side if you want to look at the downside of it. But it's once again looking at the opportunity that you can tap into with that.
So I think from the moment he arrived, he demonstrated that he knew Celtic, he knew the history. He knew the fan base. He knew what it meant to people. He was able to share that and characterise it. And now when he walks out and he wears a daggy old jumper and he walks out and they greet him like Hulk Hogan in his glory years. He has total control over that crowd. And now Tottenham. So and there's a flood of messages. I'll make sure I service the messages as we go. 0433 98 11 16 40 winks. Temper text, temper a mattress like no other. Some saying it's a poison chalice. I like the Michael Owen view, as he will bring them the football that they want. Evidently, they have had years where they have been at war, at war with players and everyone at war. So he is a unifying figure. Anyway, my starting point with him is, so he'd coached South Melbourne and he'd been tipped out of the underage job in Australia in, you know, huge blaze of controversy. He couldn't get a job in the A-League, so he did experts. I called and he was the expert, and we did a couple of seasons together because we'd go and call games, and I would leave the games going, how have none of these clubs figured out that this is the guy? Sometimes you can just tell who you're sitting with. And then finally Raw figured it out, and away he's gone stepping through the ranks.
Is he abrasive? In a way.
So he is no nonsense.
Yes.
So he's got authority.
Does he want absolute control?
Yes.
Because that's the sense that I got.
To put his program in. Yes. It's a philosophy, it's a dogma, it's a religion.
Is that not the way of the gaffers over in the EPL anyway?
I think it has to be.
Yeah. And they recruit as much as they coach.
Yes, and they recruit specifically for
their game plan.
Mm. And that's what he's done in Japan, and that's what he did in Scotland. I heard a story in the – and this is sort of – so he's got the connection, but he's also got the authority. So I heard a story out of the Australian camp that the first time you saw him for the day, you had to call him boss, and then you're away. But that a level of respect, the first time you saw him, you had to call him boss. I heard that from three different players, so I'm assuming it's correct. I've never actually run that past.
I've been in a dinner group that's caught up sort of once or twice a year in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, and John Aloisi's been in it through a mate of mine, and he had through his championship year, he had a philosophy that every player and staff member needed to come and shake his hand. That's his version of the boss. And I remember saying to him, what a wank. What are you talking about? What, they have to come find you and shake their hand? That's like, and I said, what, you're not winning because you're shaking hands? He went and won the title. And I thought, oh, well, look, it's in the end, you don't know why or how some of these things are important. But it's if it's to teach a discipline or if it's to teach a philosophy of some sort, and you can't dig deeper into the true connection between a coach and his staff or a coach and his players, and it's more than just the senior coach, but you need to have that authority, one. You need to have that aura, and you need to impose it in some shape or form to be able to get the collective buy-in of the people that you're leading, managing, coaching.
Yep. And he's been a wonderful resource for Australian coaches as well, while he's been particularly in Scotland. So some have told their stories. Alistair Clarkson's been over there a couple of times, and one of the moments of enlightenment for him was he went and he sat through the review, and it was sort of, and Clarkson went, oh, this is me. This is what I'm born to do. This is, I want to be back doing this. And there's others who have sort of been through the inner sanctum that he's got open to Australian coaches who I don't think have told their stories publicly. And he's got little WhatsApp groups that he's part of with some of the coaches back here as well. So yeah, he's a beacon for Australian sport, particularly for coaching.
Well, everyone's buying into him. It's pretty hard not to. He's had success everywhere he's gone. It's been a lengthy journey to get to this point, and we hope that the journey continues even further. But it's a must watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because as you said, it's a scheme, a philosophy first and foremost. It's a way of being, then a philosophy on how to build to emanate that way of being, and a personal belief around how to live and how to be and how to view the world and the challenges that you face, into a philosophy, into a football club, into a scheme that he wants to, an attitude that you take onto the field, but then a way of playing. And he's been able to, it seems to me, that he's been able to refine that, test that, and challenge that with different groups of players in different situations along the way. And that is obviously why having those different experiences, being in those different environments and having success in all of them, gives you validation to be able to take that same philosophy and scheme and attitude into a new group of players, into a new club, and just roll it out, because you've made all the mistakes with that same with the same attitude and with that same process and program, and now we get to see it at the top level. So it's exhilarating to see how it plays out, because you only ever see the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
We don't actually know everything that goes on, everything that he does. We get little insights, but I'm really keen to see how this program rolls out at the top level of this sport in the world.
0433 98 11 16. We'll share your thoughts as we go. 40 Winks Tempur-Tex, Tempur a mattress like no other. And we'll head to London in the next hour to get the latest and to get the feel. What a time to be a Spurs fan, whether they realise it or not. That energy in coaching, the positive and the negative, we're going to work through that with Nathan Buckley for La Trobe Financial, trusted by Australians. I can't tell you the number of messages that are pouring through, so I'll curate those as we go. This one grabs our attention. Morning, gents. AFL Nuffy here. We're talking coaching inspired by Ange Postecoglou. Have always regarded Craig Bellamy as the best Aussie coach till now, although I don't follow the world game. Does Bellamy not coaching at another club detract from his record? And that triggered a memory for you, Bucks, in a Bellamy conversation.
Yeah, well, I wondered whether a Craig Bellamy or Wayne Jackson or
Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett, yep. Sorry. Having more senior moments as I go along. Wayne Bennett or even an Ange Postecoglou, you know, because if you take the scheme part of it out, so you got the personal philosophy and then how you want the club to be run and put together, and that aura that great coaches carry, maybe a game plan or a scheme is, I don't know, 15 or 20% of it. But because if you can capture the hearts and minds of your players, I think you're over halfway there. It's three quarters of the challenge. Would an Ange or a Craig Bellamy or a Wayne Bennett have the capacity to coach an AFL club? And I wouldn't think that it would be absurd to believe that they could, especially with the assistant coach support that you get at an AFL environment. But and I thought that it's a left field thought, but I've got no doubt that when you have the attributes to coach and to win hearts and minds with your personal demeanor and to buy into a purpose, it'll probably be harder from, you know, because it's contextually very different to have someone come from left field here. But I've got no doubt that they would have a fair crack at it. I don't know if we'll ever see it. I don't think we ever will, but it would be interesting.
It would. So Did you go so far as to suggest it on your way out the door at Collingwood?
Yeah, I did. I spitballing with Roddy about sort of where the club could possibly go, but in the end, it's a risk that very few people would take, and it's an easy to make a suggestion. Very hard to be sitting in the chair and make that decision and then go forward with it. But I mean, obviously, Craig McRae is a person that can win hearts and minds, and is a person who is able to bring a philosophy and a scheme that the players believe in and a way of living that they believe in, and has got them in great shape.
Positive and negative energy in coaching. So we might workshop that as what you've seen in North Melbourne over a few weeks and then what Carlton is in the grip of at the moment. Nathan Buckley for La Trobe Financial, looking out for you for more than 70 years. Nathan, thank you. A Buck's positive and negative energy in coaching, and you've lived enough to understand how real this is. What are the case studies that you're thinking about at the moment?
Look, I think the one that's been floated has been the last 3 weeks for North, and I think that's a window into this conversation around energy. There's no doubt that Alistair Clarkson is an excellent coach and has been able to prove a way of a belief and a philosophy and build a program that has won flags consistently at Hawthorn, and he's now got an opportunity to do it again at North. He's carried with him, no doubt, some baggage from his last club and from the report that came down around the treating of First Nations peoples at Hawthorn, and that has obviously weighed him down, so much so that he's felt that he's needed to step away. I wonder how that energy transferred to the football department at North Melbourne and the players. And that this is only a speculation because I'm not in there at all. I've no idea to be in there. But what I have seen in the last 3 weeks is a playing group that seemed to have found a greater effort, more energy. The youth are coming through even better. And sometimes that can just be a timing thing. Sometimes they can just be ready to go. But maybe it's a little bit of releasing of the negative energy or the baggage or the heaviness that might have been brought in through their senior coach. And I have no evidence or awareness or specific understanding of any of this. It's just a thought bubble. So Clarko's done the right thing to step away, and he shouldn't step back in until he's absolutely clear in his own heart and mind. And that, I don't know how long that'll take. That's not so much what I'm talking about, the minutiae of that. But Brett Ratner's obviously brought in a lightness, and he's been able to free the players up in some shape or form. And I don't think it's not a coaching attribute. It's just a personal circumstance at the time. I think there's a heaviness around Carlton. Now, I'm not attributing that to Michael Voss as such, but there is questions and pressures around his particular role. And when the playing group is sitting there looking up at a person and there's anything in the space between them, it affects the communication of whatever that message is and the belief of the same. So I think that is a challenge that every coach will face or every manager or leader will face at different times. And I've got no doubt that at the beginning of 2021 for us at Collingwood and for me as a coach, that my energy was low or heavy. And it was around, that was without even considering what was coming back, around the trades that needed to take place at the end of 2020. And a little bit around the Do Better report and the questions that we're asking ourselves internally about how we needed to be better and do better in regards to the respect of everyone in the environment, and in particular, First Nations people. So I felt that in myself. I felt it in the group, and I think it's been pretty clear that the playing group that were light and free for a couple of years beforehand and light and free now were weighed down through that period. So I suppose it's a lived experience, and I felt it early in my coaching career as well, and I felt it at times as a player. Like when say Shorey, for instance, when he's trying to impose himself and a way of playing, but it sort of felt like, oh, geez, 1999, we won the wooden spoon, and it was like we sort of know where this is going, and you sort of think you're not really playing anymore to win or lose. You're sort of wondering, where are we going here? What's our path forward? and it couldn't be sold because we didn't. He didn't know what it was. The club didn't know what the path forward was. So, that concept of energy and that concept of lightness of being able to bulletproof your environment from what's happening on the outside. It's a harder challenge now than it's ever been.
Yep.
With where media has gone, where social media goes, all you need is one phone in that environment and the outside is inside. So being able to, you need to win the hearts and minds of your people. You need to be clear. The energy needs to be strong and clear and positive, and the purpose needs to be so, so laser focused that you get the absolute buy-in of your people. And I wonder when you see, I look for that from the outside in because I've felt it myself and I know how impactful that can be.
So is it conceivable to you that Michael Voss could be coaching for his career at Carlton in the remainder of this season? Conceivable.
Well, every person is acting, behaving, actively contributing to their future in everything that they do. So, yes, Michael Voss is coaching for his future. So's Craig McRae. But we talk about it in an immediate future. Like, are you going to be sacked? No, but every player is playing for their future. Every player is training and preparing for their future. Every person goes to work today. Whatever you do today is going to impact you tomorrow and next week and next month and next year in your career progression or regression, whatever you want it to be. So everything you do has an impact. There are things that are happening in and around Michael Voss that he is not in control of. And that makes it tough because in the end, he could do his very best work. He could do his very best. He could be improving as he's going along, but still not meet the expectations of those around him, internally or externally. So it might be a fatal or futile effort on his behalf. But you have to believe that you're going to be able to find the best, that you're going to be able to find that one thing that's going to unlock, remove the expectation from the players or remove that pressure from the players or from yourself first and foremost and then for your players. And that's the challenge that Carlton have got now. They come up against Essendon, arch rivals, you know, big game. It's nearly a line in the sand game for me. Like this is, you know, Carlton have had a few of those in the last sort of month, I would suspect. But this is just one, just like, okay, gloves are off. We've just got to do whatever we have to do here to win this game of footy. And I don't know how that's going to be manifest, but that's the attitude. You can't look beyond this week. You can't look beyond the next training session for that matter. But yes, Vossie's in the gun. It's clear. Like to suggest otherwise is folly.
Does Carlton have to find a different way though? So since David Parkin, Wayne Britton sacked after his second season, Dennis Pagan sacked in his fifth season, Mick Malthouse sacked in his third season, Brendan Bolton sacked in his fourth season, David Teague sacked in his second full season. Michael Voss is only a year and a half in.
Well, absolutely they do. But and through no fault of his own, do we see here that Vossie inherits the past of his football club? The players inherit the past of a football club. The board do as well. And all of those people have a choice of whether they want to repeat the things that haven't worked in the past, or whether you want to hold firm and do it differently, or turn back into each other and decide that the only way we get through this is to stick fat and to get roll our sleeves up, get our hands dirty, and to grind our way out of it. There's no quick fix, and if you're looking for a quick fix, you'll get scuttled eventually, and maybe this is no fault of Michael Voss in the senior coaching role right now, but it is a question that the club would be asking itself. And the reality is, just whilst you're asking these questions, you're not focused on the things that you need to actually be focused on to perform today. As soon as you lift your eyes, well then, you know, so that's the balance that needs to be gained. And the conversations that would be being had, but it's a tough place to be when you don't meet the expectations of those internally, let alone externally.
Nathan Buckley in the studio, 0433 98 11 16 40 Wings Tempur-Tex, Tempur a mattress like no other. The open line as we go will be for EFS, delivering simple freight solutions. This is Waitley for Host Plus and Hyundai Tucson, tomorrow's SUV, in stock now. We're doing a crash course in Tottenham Hotspurs here, but we could have a 10 useless facts by the end of it, couldn't we?
The animal is a cockerel, roosts up high, and it crows, cockerels, whatever. it calls it at dawn. Yeah, I think that Ange might be doing a crash course on all of this as well. To use as some angles to talk about what to buy in at the football club.
He'll have it all in his grasp. 5 o'clock tonight, Jordan De Goey's tribunal case. This has been a bizarre set of circumstances, yeah. I think. A very straightforward incident that is worthy of a hefty suspension. Best case would be 3, worst case would be 5. It might land in the middle at 4. But it has led to West Coast sort of blowing the moment where they might have stood firm, been a bit too smart by half, and then they're the ones doing the apologising. I've never really seen a case quite like it.
Yeah, ultimately what I'm led to believe is that the post came from the digital media department. So there was a disconnect in this instance between their football department and the digital media department. And I think that I've experienced this myself. I think we were going into a game against Richmond, and the Brodie Grundy goal from the goal square where we beat Richmond sort of with the last kick for the year before was put out on loop. Like there was 30 minutes of that edit over and over and over that was put out to our fan base through our Twitter page. And it was it was up for about 10 minutes, I reckon, before someone from the football department alerted Jeff Walsh to it, and the guy was frog marched over to the football department and told in no uncertain terms that any arrogance or cockiness or actions against another competitor, whether before or after, is not accepted. This is not something the football program stands for. But he had the autonomy to throw things up to engage the fan base. So I think this is a similar situation where the digital media team potentially could have they're servicing the fan base and they're interacting with the fan base through socials, but the football department haven't been happy with the integrity part of it from their perspective. So they've pulled it back, they've apologised for it, owned it because it's behind the wall of the West Coast Eagles Football Club, and then moved on. So that's a totally separate issue to what we saw. And then there's the Dom Sheed comments as well. But
so
I mean, this
he's
is
just reached out to De Goey and apologised for that.
Oh, and I presume Geordie's had, we haven't heard whether Geordie's spoken to the kid either.
No. So that's usually what happens is the...
But that doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
No, that's right. So we learned that tonight at the hearing.
Well, in the end, Geordie made he made an error of judgment in a split second playing the game of footy, which happens. He's 150 games in. He's been a ball player his whole career. So he'll cop his whack and he'll re-energise and go again when he comes back around. But and there is an overt focus on head contact right now in the game. So that's what he will be facing when he's up tonight.
What do you think the appropriate penalty would be?
I think that it's clearly broken the rules, and there was clear direct head contact between the shoulder, between his shoulder and Hewitt's head, and it was strong and forceful, and it forced the player out. So whether you're looking at an action perspective or a result perspective, I think that they both stand up. I think on the lower end it's 3, and I think if they want to be stronger, it'll be 4.
All right, we're gonna digress at the final moment of our segment to movies because there's a bit to learn here. There's a bit I missed the heart of the Oscar-winning film. You're going to educate me on that front as we close out with Nathan Buckley. And then we're due in London to find out the latest Tottenham Hotspur and Ange Postecoglou.
Now, back to Waitley.
You know why I actually built the bagel? Wasn't to destroy everything. It was to destroy myself. I wanted to see if I went in, could I finally escape?
If you're an Oscars buff, you'll know that that's a little bit of Everything Everywhere All at Once, which swept the Oscars. I got fixated on the multiverse and the bagel, couldn't quite get past it. Felt like a total mess to me. Not a film that wasn't worth watching,
yeah,
but just not the masterpiece that sweeping the Oscars represents. But I miss the heart of the film, Bucks.
Yeah, but to your statement of I miss the heart in the film was based on me saying to you yesterday that it actually had me in tears at the end of the show.
Beautiful.
And feeling like I needed to text my eldest son to tell him how much I loved him. So that's the impact that it had on me. It's we've got 2.5 minutes to talk about something that I think is so profound and met me where I was at the moment. I think movies do that a little bit. You've got to be in a position to accept whatever is coming towards you. And I was ready to accept it. And I thought it was profound. The bagel is nothing, mate. The bagel is nothingness, and it's depression and it's a negativity. Anyone that's watched it, I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't, but it's actually a symbol of anything that drags you down or takes away the goodness and the optimism in your life. So that's the way I saw it.
What were the hot dog figures?
Did you not see that, the bagel? The hot dog figures. The hot dog fingers were an absurdity on the fact that you cannot possibly imagine any other alternate reality that could happen in the future against the decision that you make now. And they actually went back and explained how that happened back in the primate. And there's rocks talking to one another.
Rocks talking to one another was a clear highlight in modern movie making.
Really?
Yep.
It was nearly 2001 Space Odyssey type stuff. But then when the rocks started chasing one another,
yes.
With googly eyes on them, mate, come on. It is so bizarre. It is so abstract. It is so left field. I've always had a thought that sci-fi movies are great. They teach you more about being a human because they take you out of any context that you could put into your own self into the movie. They tell a story and it comes around and it kicks you in the ass and gives you – or hits you in the heart and gives you the crux of what the movie's about, and it sinks in deeper because it disarms you. I think this movie does the same.
Yeah, so Claire agrees with you. I missed that. I just thought the multiverse doesn't work for me in the Marvel movies, and it didn't seem any better with subtitles.
And the idea of change, like eating a chapstick or changing your feet, it's doing something that you don't normally do that takes you out of your norm.
Don't say we haven't spread far and wide.